I don't remember what her name was when she was born.
Okay, tell me your name and the date today.
Died.
Well, she wants the date. He is real hard of hearing, so.
Okay, I'll say it for you. Today is Saturday, October 10th, 2009.
Yeah.
And tell us your name.
My name, William Harold Boyce.
Okay. Tell me about your life. When you were born?
I was born down here on the corner, 23rd East and 70th South.
20th East.
Ivan
Dryden.
1922. And I've been right in this area all my life. Seen a lot of changes around here. And we went to church up here on the corner, on the top of the hill. School, and that school was built up there. And we just kind of roamed the country and farmed here and farmed there whenever we could. And whenever we could find somebody who needed some work, we'd go to work for them and for pennies, but it was a living, nearly. I remember the first job that my dad got, it was in, way back in the Deseret Mortuary. And he got a commission of 25 cents to 50 cents for every funeral. So that was about the size of the work that come into our place. We had a living, made a living, and it was a good living. A lot went on, because a lot of things went on that shouldn't have done. A lot of things didn't come out all right that should have done. I don't know. Still around here, so I guess it ain't too bad. I run this farm here when my brother, he wouldn't get no help out of him. I run this farm here with horses. We always had 3-4 horses in the corral all the time. When spring came, we had to get to work. And if you didn't get your horses out and get plowed and get the harrowed and planted, if you was a little bit late, you wouldn't make it for the year. Because there were some years it was a really short season, you know. But I guess it paid off. I don't know. We worked there, and anybody needed some work, well, I could take my horse and ride to where they was and help them out for a day, for a quarter, and so, you know, that was on very good wages. I knew every farm and every person and every around here. I knew them all. Worked the biggest part of them. Maybe it's only a day's work or something, but I've been around here quite a while.
Who were some of your neighbors that you remember when you were younger?
Oh, there was Jimmy Latsis and Monteers. There was quite a bunch of them. And Erickson's and a big brick house up there along going up the bench on this side. That was built by Erickson. He was one time a bishop around here. And there was a lot of greens over on the other street. There was some Colebrooks and people up this street. And over on Poverty Flat, there was a bunch of people over there. There was worse off than we was, of course. You know, it didn't bother too much. because if he was poor, because everybody else was, you know. And, if I was poor and he was poor, he's equal. But that's not the way it went. I've always wanted to be a cowboy, and so I cowboyed quite a bit, and you always get hurt doing that, and I don't know, I just done the best we could with what we had, and lots of times there wasn't too much to be had. That way was where we could kill a pig, and we'd kill a beef, and we could add our own meat. And we raised a big garden over here, east of the house there, and raised a big garden, and Mother bottled all of it, and olive oil in the basement. There was a cellar under the granary, and had it underneath there, and it was cool and nice under there in a dirt cellar, and had all the stuff in there. It was good. It was a good living for the winter. But I don't know, that's about the size of it.
Tell me about the schools you went to.
Pardon?
Tell me about the schools you went to.
Butler Junior Butler School and Union Junior High. That's all the schooling I got. I never did graduate. But I got an education right here on this farm. I didn't need to go to school to get an education. But of course, we had to go to Union to school, and we got up there a little bit, and then they did run a bus up here for a year or two, and on them old cracker box buses, that was the only transportation to school I had. And it was okay. It was a ride. A lot of times you missed the bus, you walked home. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I guess that wasn't too awful, too much about what you wanted to know.
Tell me about your life with your parents.
My dad had a job with an oil company. And he was overhauling pumps, and he ran into Utah and Wyoming and fixed all the pumps and all this sort of service stations. And he was gone a lot. He was gone a lot. He'd leave, maybe gone a month at a time. Hmm. And then he'd be back, you know. And he was gone a lot, and it was just up to me to do it. Because my brother, I couldn't get nothing out of him. He was much older, and he bossed the outfit. He's the boss, and so that's the way it goes when your older brother's like that. And it was my place to do the build a home and make a home. My one sister, she moved in with my aunt over in Holiday or in Sugar House somewhere. She went to school over there a couple of years.
Now, which sister was that?
LaVonne. That's the older sister. Jean, she got a pretty good education. She kept going to school. She was a little older than me. I was older than my younger sister, and 7 years younger than my brother. Luana wasn't around too much. She married a guy I worked right on the river for years, you get down a couple of years, ferrying sheep across the river. And I was down there with him quite a bit, and they come up here, and then he got in the oil business, and they got married and went to oil drilling for a couple of outfits and one thing or another. She wasn't around too much. Then when they got all squared away on that, they went to Oregon. She lived in the shipyards during the war. And had a good job up there, and they done all right up there. Went to Portland, Oregon. I don't know what else you need.
Okay, what did you do for fun?
Farmed.
You did farming for fun,
yeah.
And for work, huh?
Yeah. Had an extra job if you could find it.
But you liked riding horses.
Oh, yeah.
What was your horse? Did you name your horses?
Well, it depends on how they act, they was named.
On a particular day.
No, I had some good horses, and didn't give you no trouble. But my dad said one day, he said, "That horse of yours is losing weight." And I said, "Oh, he can't be losing weight." He said, "The manger's full of hay every day." He said, "Yeah, but he's not in there to eat it." He said, "You got him out riding him all the time." Oh. Well, he needs it. In fact, he was a good horse. Well, we kind of moved around a little bit. Somebody had trades. See, we came out with a better horse for the trade or something. And her biggest part of the time, she ended up with the worst. But this is life. In fact, that little gray horse brought down the Union and brought him up here and raising peas. I had to crop peas up there in the middle of that field. And load of hay, a load of peas on that wagon going down the cannery. And Dad hollered and he said, "Get that harness off of that horse, he's going to die." I jumped down, I got the harness off from him, and he dropped over dead. We'd only bought him a week. I don't know. Them things happen. My dad hauled ore out of these canyons.
Oh, did he?
Mm-hmm. I hauled ore out of these canyons with horses, and summertime it's wagons down to smelter. Well, like I say, there's been a lot of changes around this valley.
What are some of the bigger changes?
Oh, it's the traffic and the people. I don't like it. I don't care for it. No, I don't. Let me get up there and go up here for a week.
Back
and
here completely. Why we live in two homes.
I understand.
When we get up here, I'm up here for a week, and boy, I feel good when I get home. Jeez, I love it so much down there. There ain't much down there either, but it's a good little town.
How did you meet your first wife?
Let's see. There was a guy there boarding at their place and worked at Kennicott, and I was working out at Kennicott a little bit, and we got going, picking him up and going to work and one thing or another, and she was running around there and just kind of met her, I guess.
And she worked at Kennicott?
No, she was home. They lived right down here. But she was home with her mother. Her dad had died a long time.
When did you get married?
I don't know. Did you get that wrote down? I don't remember.
How many children did you have?
Four.
What do you remember about being a parent?
Well, it was a kind of a little mix-up in that deal. Not a mix-up, but things wasn't getting along too good. We kind of went one way and she went the other. And I don't know, then she took off and went to Billings, Montana, and up in there in that country, and got all married up and one thing up there, and then she went back east. She was a bishop in a Catholic church, whatever that was. That was the Catholic church have bishops?
Yep.
She was a bishop in a Catholic church, and her age, one thing and another, and she just got word that she was going to die, and she died. Her oldest son was over in Colorado. He went over there to the funeral, and he got there just as that was over. It wasn't a very close family, the whole family.
What are your children's names?
Paul and David and who's the next one?
The next one was Stephanie, was after Paul.
Yeah, Stephanie.
That was with your first wife.
Yeah.
So you had two children with your first wife?
Yeah.
Okay. And that was Paul and Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And second wife, you had two children. Cheryl. C-H-E-R-Y-L, and David.
So you've had four children all together?
Yeah.
Okay. And how did you meet your first wife, or your second wife?
She was going down to school there, Union, and the coach there was an Italian guy, prince of a guy, just didn't come any better. And he kind of fell in love with her going to school, and then he was an Italian, and the family, a couple of them didn't care for it, about it, and really upset. And the biggest part of the rest of us, I thought it was the best thing in the world. So they went and got married, and in fact, we got married the same time they did on that picture in 19, where we was in Vegas, went to Vegas, and they got married then.
Who got married there? Who are you talking about? Gene and Bino?
Bino.
That's his second sister.
Mm-hmm.
Second.
Yeah.
Just older. Is she just older than you?
Yeah, she was older. She died when I graduated, when I quit school. Or where?
When you retired?
When I retired there from, I don't know.
Premium oil.
Kennecott, I guess. I don't know.
Premium oil, when she died, would be when you retired from premium oil.
When I was retired, she was around. She had cancer. And she was getting these shots down to the hospital. And I didn't have nothing to do. I wasn't working. I'd come down every week and take her down to the hospital to get these shots. And I don't know if it's done a good or I've done a little bit of good, I guess, but then Bino had been dead and died just for too long for that. He was a neat guy.
So how did you and Gene meet?
He doesn't remember when we met. His brother was our families were very close.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived over here on about 3500 South between Highland Drive and 23rd East for many, many, many years. And that his brother was 7 years older than he, and he chased with my uncles that lived with us when old down in this place. And one day he came to the house to visit my uncle, and he had Harold with him. I was between 10 and 12, and Harold, of course, 5 years older than I am. And this good-looking He had the blackest, beautiful, wavy hair, and he had this little mustache, you know, just a small mustache, not that big wide one. And I was just smitten.
Oh, how sweet.
And that's how we met.
Oh.
And then over the years, you know, we just were a close family, the two families were close. My uncles and my mother and dad chased with the same crowd that Harold's brother and stuff, you know, chased with. And so it was interesting. But I fell in love with him. I was smitten back then and carried that torch.
Well, he's still handsome.
Carried that torch until I finally caught him.
That's so cute.
I can remember when he got married the first time, and his first wife lived on down at the bottom of the lane that we lived on. There were Spitzers, and then there was another house that Lucas lived in, and that's where she lived, right on Highland Drive. And I can remember one day I was walking home from school. It was just after he'd married Catherine. Mm-hmm. And they drove by me, and he honked and honked and honked and waved and waved and waved at me. She was, and I can still see her. She was practically sitting on his lap. I mean, I was jealous of her, but I, you know, I was in high school at that point in time.
Oh, that is what a sweet
but
story.
he brought my first husband. He brought him to Salt Lake. Well, how I met my first husband. He was a buddy with Harold.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
So we've just been real close.
Forever.
Yeah, forever.
Forever.
But he doesn't remember when we first met.
Well,
I do very vividly.
That is so cute. Tell me about your health, Harold.
I was over there. Hunting Oldie needed a job.
Yeah.
By my life.
About your health. Have you always been healthy all your life? Never had any problems?
Yeah, I've been pretty healthy. I've had two or three little shots in the arm and one thing or another, and a couple of shots in the belly and a couple of operations, but other than that, I've had a good life.
Your surgeries and stuff have been the last 12 years have been.
I've had more trouble in the last 12 years than I have the rest of my life.
Couple of back surgeries, couple of carotid artery surgery, two shoulder cuff surgeries, and so.
What I was doing, I had a bad leg or a bad arm, and I come and see this doctor, and he says, Well, let's better check it out. So he operated on it and got some spurs out of my back and one thing or another. And then my back didn't stop aching and I couldn't find nothing to do there. So I went to another doctor and he checked it out and he said that the holes in the spine wasn't big enough to let the fluid go through to the leg. I went around one-legged for quite a while, and went in, and we'd been riding hard down on the mountain, and so I had to go to this doctor, so we got ready to come in to this doctor in here, and I didn't have no way to saw legs. She said, well, I'll go down and get him, so she come down and loaded me up and brought me to Salt Lake, the hospital. And while I was in there, he said, well, he said, if we don't get you off that bad back and that arm, he said, you're going to be in a wheelchair. I said, we ain't got time for that. And so we went on and he operated on the back and this Felix, and he creamed it out in good shape and haven't had no trouble since with it, about it. So I guess kind of wound it up a little bit, but I still value your age, you know, and work hard and hard work. You just get a little older and a little tireder. That's about it.
That is true. Okay. What wars do you remember?
Wars.
World War One, World War Two. You know, Korean War.
W-A-R-S. Wars.
Wars. Oh, wars.
Yeah, wars.
Well, I took my brother in the Second World War, but I had a defense job, and they turned me down a couple of times, which didn't bother me because I had this farm to do. And so it was for the Second World War. I wasn't old enough for the First World War. But then this last deal in Korea, that ain't a war. I don't know what it is. I need two or three good lay some good eggs over there and get it over with. That's been such a pain.
Now, did you serve in a war?
No. My brother did. I didn't.
And your brother was killed in a war?
No, he got out and come home. And then his sister got after him. He didn't go get a job and do something. He'd be losing his Social Security. So he went and got a job working for a guy down here in this store that he knew. They gave him a job, but he wouldn't work. World owed him a living, and he's going to take it.
There's sure a difference in the two boys. He ambitious and lazy.
Well.
No, I was, like I say, I was glad of a day off. Man, it was nice to have a day off.
How has the world changed that have been the most different for you?
The traffic and people and houses and buildings and terrible. Well, I didn't get to Salt Lake. I don't believe I went to Salt Lake over three times in my life till I got up to where I knew what Salt Lake was. When you went anywhere, you had to go with your folks because they just had one car, and if you wanted to ride, you get in. If you didn't, you stay home.
When did you first learn to drive a car?
Oh, about a little Ford pickup.
What year?
31, I think. Ford coupe, blue one. And then I was to pay my dad for it. He had it and I bought from him. I was to pay him for it. And I finally got it paid. Probably took a couple of years, but I got it paid. But I never went to Salt Lake. There was nothing in Salt Lake for me. And I just didn't care for the traffic and the buildings and one thing or another. And I was too much of a, what would you call it, lonesome dove or whatever. Just being around people just got to me. I didn't like it.
Did your family go to church? What did you do did you go camping or anything?
We went to church. Family went to church. Kids didn't go to church. My sister, she went to church here in Sugar House when she lived with Grandma, but Jean, she got married up with this Mexican guy and Vino, and they didn't go to church, and he had one kid, Joe, and we went to church every week. Dad went on a mission.
And where did he serve? Where did he go?
Southern state somewhere. He didn't say too much about it, and I didn't ask too much about it. He said, where'd you go? And he said, down south and east. I don't know.
Did you have any callings in the church, or did you?
No, I was never a speaker. I never was a speaker like that. I can't get up in front of people and talk. That's the worst thing in the world there is to do. I just can't do that. Mm-hmm. I had Nellie's church right up here. Me and my dad, we built a lot of that church. Mm. Every time we had that, when they first built it, every time I had any time off, Dad would say, let's go to church. So we'd go to church, we'd work on it, and work and work and work. You know, I would tell people, I built this church. You know. And I figured that was a pretty good deal for not having to get up and talk.
A good trade-off, huh?
Tell the story. I don't know, life's funny.
What have been some of your happiest times?
Day off.
Okay, day off. Okay.
Yeah, I like the day off. Nothing to do, nothing. Just have a day off. But you didn't get very many of them either.
Did you ever go camping or anything like that, or vacationing?
No.
Not as a kid, maybe, but you did in your later life.
Oh, later life.
Still chasing wild horses.
Well,
you did a
yeah.
lot of that.
Spend a lot of time doing that. But,
yeah.
Now, how did you chase wild horses?
Get on the horse and go chase them. I chased a wild horse on that desert 50 years ago. A west desert. A lot of times I'd come home, if there's anything to do tomorrow, I'd saddle up my horse and throw him in the wagon or in the trailer and go down there to Nephi and hook up with my buddies, and we'd go to the desert and be gone for a couple of days. And then I'd catch hell when I got home because I didn't get work done. And I've been busy chasing horses. Didn't have to stay home and work. That was a great life. Out there on the desert all alone. A bunch of horses around. Some other cowboys. And It was a good life.
What type of horses were they?
Old broomtails, desert horses.
Your hearse horses weren't broomtails, though, were they?
They was just a mixed breed. And how horses are, you got a stallion, you got the mares, and one thing or another, they're good at mine. Don't matter what they look like. They don't care. I can't tell color. But they're good. They're good horses. They've been run on that desert for so many years that they've got a heart that big around. They'll run all day.
Mm.
They'll run all day. They're strong. And they're built. And you can take after them and chase them all day, and when at night they're ready to go, and you're about to give out. But
did you ever keep any of those horses? Any of the wild horses that you chased? Did you ever keep any of them?
Yeah, we kept a few. Brought them in, sold them for $10, and was always a millionaire. We brought in seven. I had to go come down and get a truck. We had seven. We caught seven horses. I had to go to town and get another truck, bring them home. And this one old gray mare, I had to bring her and tied her up to a post out in front of his house down in Nephi. And I tied her up out there, and that morning she had a cold.
Wow. Okay, what have you learned in 87 years?
What did I learn? Mm-hmm. Oh, man. How much time you got?
Oh, I got all the time you want.
I could talk on what I've learned and what I've done. Not laugh for quitting time. And still never catch up. And I haven't had an exciting life. It's been good and it's been bad. You got to take the bad with the good, I guess. And one good trip we did go on, though, we went when we got married. We went to...
And this is with Gene.
Yeah.
Okay.
We went to Panama, one of them cruises around the country. And that was a good trip. He was out there all alone, and it was good, you know. In fact, we were going on that trip, and she said, I ain't going to go with you to get married. So I had to go get married so she'd go.
There you go.
Yeah.
She did good.
So anyway.
You learned you had to get married now in order to go to Panama.
Yeah.
What else did you learn?
Oh, I learned millions of things. I'd talk and talk and talk.
Well, tell me. Let's talk.
Huh?
Name a couple of things that you learned. What would you say? What would you pass on to your grandkids? Or what would you tell them?
Well, tell them most anything they'll listen to. You know, how kids are. I've got a couple of grandkids down there at Salina that might not think the world of. Well, there's three down there. No, two down there and two up here. But... you know how kids are. You try to tell them anything, talk to them, and they've got 10,000 things they got to go do. They can't listen to you. You know, they're too busy. And I try to go to their ball games, and they're you know, down there, and one thing or another. And then if one of them's got to go to...
He's talking about great-grandkids, by the way.
Okay, right now. Okay.
They go to... the ball games, and they get off church early or out of school early, their dad will go get him and bring him up to my place, and he'll come out and get his chores done and the mules fed and one thing and another, and then the kids used to be around there in the house for 45 minutes, an hour, and we just love them to death. And they're good kids. They're champion wrestlers. About this big. What are they? Seven? Eight?
Yeah, Riker is seven. And Keegan is what?
Five, isn't he?
Five and seven. Those two. And the two of them, two boys up here, what are they, about 12?
12, something
like
that.
Did you have time to play any baseball or anything, any sports at all?
Oh, once in a while they were getting to a football game. You always played it on the dirt. You didn't have no grass to play it on. And we used to play a little baseball and football up on the... back to the church, or back to school. We had a lot there, and we get a few, you know, games there, but there really wasn't a whole lot. When I was going to school up here, there wasn't 30 kids in the whole school. I was second, third, fourth, and fifth. And three of them was all in one room. We had a few here and a few here and a few here. That's about it. Then if you wanted a good ball game, you had to go out in the gravel and play out in the gravel, and you didn't have no lawn, so you played in dirt, and you kind of get gravel rash or two once in a while. Either that or sit on the sideline and watch somebody do something. Well, I should have done that. I should have been there. That little pasture there on the corner of Party Blair's place. And talked to him one day, hey, I bring my horse up here to school. Can I put him over in that corner? Yeah, I put him over there. So I'll put some water over there. So we put him over there in the corner, and he'd stay there and eat hay all day while I was at school, and come sadly when I'm grown. I'd be walking. We used to have a better winter fun than we did summer fun, because in the winter they'd never scrape these roads. When I first come out in this country, these roads was dirt, as dirt mm-hmm, roads, mm-hmm. and they never scraped these roads. I just push a little of snow off from them, and that's it. Well, you take and get up on top of Rudder Hill, sleighing was good. You get on that hill and come down that road, you could come clear down to here on that. In fact, we built a bobsleigh coming down the bobsleigh and got there to Death Curve, and we had a crash. Didn't quite make the curve. I think one of the girls ended up in the hospital, I think. Had kind of spoiled the bike or the bobsleigh, and I don't think we had enough money to build it back up. So I think that done away with the bobsleigh business. The sleighing was good. You could get on all clear up there above the Alder Basin and clear up in there. The sleighing was good. You could come all the way down there with about four or five of you on a sleigh.
Wow.
And you could come all the way down.
Clear up in the canyon?
Yeah.
From the canyon down?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd heard about that before.
Yeah, that was good sleighing.
Have you had any hobbies?
No hobbies.
No time for hobbies. Too much work.
I was a good horseshoer, if that's a hobby.
Did you do that for a living? Did you earn money out of it?
I done that for my own. Didn't do it for a living. Well, for everybody done their own, you know. You couldn't find anybody who needed some horse shod because everybody had their own.
What would you like people to remember you? What would you like them to remember about you?
For me?
Your family.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know.
I think you're a hard worker, for one thing, is what you told me.
Yeah, I worked hard. Well, you know, one thing or another, if a guy worked hard, when he worked hard, you worked hard. When he played, you played hard, you know. A lot of times we'd take off, we'd ride Sugar House. We're in Sugar House or down in Murray on the horses. from back home.
Did you ever go to the movies or?
Have a what?
See, did you ever see shows, picture shows?
A picture show.
And movies? That you, would you go to a movie and see a to a theater?
No. Never went to shows. You didn't have no way to travel. You couldn't go nowhere, just on your horse. You couldn't ride his Murray and tie your horse up the post while he was to a movie. You couldn't do that.
Do that.
No.
Walk.
That's why we had to ride everywhere we went.
Did you ever have any dances you went to or anything like that?
Any what?
Dances. Did you go dancing at all?
No. 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 No, never went no dances.
Now, did you work at Kennecott?
I worked there for a while.
And what did you do for them?
Poured iron up on the foundry.
And how long did you work for them?
Oh, never too long. Oh, what, 3 years, 4 years? Jobs was hard to get. I went to work for Kennecott for 3 or 4 years. I bought a job there. I paid a guy some dollars to give me a job. So he got me a job at Kennecott. Then I went worked there for a while, and then I got a job. Oh, and then I went to fill ordnance and worked there at the government job, and that was a pretty good job. The thing I done there was quit. I should have stayed there. I'd been there right today, I guess, but I couldn't stand that tied up in a building somewhere with a roof over your head. I didn't like that. Maybe I'm funny. I don't know.
That job that you got when you gave the guy money, wasn't that someone that you had to buy an insurance policy from Metropolitan Life Insurance?
Yeah, I had to buy the insurance to get the job.
He bought an insurance policy, and he got him the job.
He got a job.
Yeah, at Kennecott.
Yeah, there's one way to get a job. There's one way to skin a cat.
Yeah.
And I...
One of the things that I think, I hope that his family remembers him for is his memory. Because he has had, until just recently, he started to have dementia, but...
Every once in a while we're sitting around the house.
Unreal.
Wow.
Dates and stuff, it just...
Every once in a while we're sitting around the house or doing something and one thing or another, and then I think of things that happened here last week up there or over here a while back, and get telling her about over there, and then we'd have to talk it over and one thing or another, and oh yeah, I remember that guy, and you know, and it was I still, lots of stuff there I still remember. There's some of it I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't remember dates.
Mm-hmm.
And I dispute that all of the time.
I cannot remember dates.
He comes up with dates all of the time, and he's always saying he can't remember dates. And I argue with him because... Every time I want a date, you know, he got the date.
No.
There was no reason to remember dates or anything like that, because what's his name live? Oh, he lives up here about a mile. He goes that way about a half a mile. He's right there on that corner. They're on that corner. And what's his address? I don't know where his address is. He lives right over there. You know, that's the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't. My gosh, he's only lives over there with hooting and holler. He's right over there. You know, anybody
that's
knows
another
that.
Thing that he, I hope his family remembers him. The quirks that comes out of his mouth, the little sayings and
hooting and hollers
and all of these little things that there's always something coming out of his mouth. Of course, his daughter Cheryl is the one that's really interested in those things, but.
I say some things to her, want her to remember, or something. Say something, and she forgets. Forgets about it. Well, I told you about it the other day, about that guy over there. And but I can't remember where he was at. I said, okay. You know, it's...
Another thing that I hope that they remember him by is that directions and highways and stuff. I mean, he's done a lot of truck driving and it's covered a lot of territory. And he knows all of the hills, the curves, you know, and the grades that were hard pulling up and all of that stuff.
Mm.
I just hope they all remember him for those things. Because I marvel at it. Because I have, in fact, I think over the past few years, dyslexia has been so prominent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I have had a form of dyslexia because I twist numbers up and when I read, I have to read each word because I can mix them up and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I marvel at that ability that he has, which
I guess it's really marvelous.
You go someplace and, he and his daughter, they and son-in-law, they talk about going here and there, and they talk about all of these curves and what's wrong this curve and on that curve, and to be able to do that.
Tell me when you drove truck. I don't think you told me about that, did you?
Yeah, what?
Tell me about when you were driving a truck.
Oh, boy. over a million miles I drove it. I went to work for this oil company in Salt Lake. And,
remember the name of it?
Premium Oil.
Oh, okay, that's right.
On 21st South and 2nd West.
Third West now.
And, I had our own truck. At one time I was 13 trucks and 13 drivers and 13, we had 20, somewhere up around the 40 stations, Utah and Idaho and Wyoming. And,
gas stations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then we fouled around a little bit and got a job hauling out of Wyoming. Got some good to buy on some stuff in Nevada and got some good stuff. Buy on stuff down in New Mexico, and I liked all them long trips. I'd just get in them truck all alone and go. But I've been pretty much all over the western states.
So how long did you do that?
40 years.
Okay.
I drove for Premium Oil on that same route, or not same route, the same truck. I wore out four trucks.
What were the years? What were the? When did you start with them and when did you end?
I started there in 1946. And I was there for 40 years. And I drove over a million miles.
Mm.
And that, somebody say, where's that road? Oh, it goes over here. I've been over there, you know. You just know these things. I don't have to study a book. Study
you just
a
know
map to see where I'm at. I know where I'm at. I know where I'm going.
Hmm.
You know, I did too. I got lost. Didn't get lost. I got, was going to Delta. Going into Delta.
I was from Delta.
Oh, okay.
Hinkley.
From this way. went down there and I pulled in to Delta, and I don't know why, but I got all mixed up in that cafe. And I come out, and I was mixed up, completely mixed up. And I had to ask somebody where in the hell east was and where west was. And that's the only time in my life I ever got mixed up. We was going to Kansas. I had a driver with me, and we was going to Kansas. And I had to go to the bathroom, and so I woke him up, and he says, where are we at? And I told him, looked around, and he says, I'm mixed up, I'm lost. I said, where are you? So he got to figuring it out, and I told him where to go, and go to get out of Kansas, and Dodge City, and get out of there. And I got down there a ways, and I said, you okay? You know where you're at? He said, oh, yeah, no more now. But he said, tell me one thing. And I said, what's that? He said, how did you know to get out of Dodge City, Kansas, to come over here? I said, well, he got in the truck and went this way and this way and this way, and he got over up across the river, and here you are, right here. How do you know that? I said, well, I was across here a week ago. Of course.
That was the situation where he was in the sleeper. Harold was in the sleeper, woke up to go to the bathroom.
And, okay, and the guy got
was able
up.
To tell the guy where he was, and the guy was driving the truck and he didn't know where he was.
Yeah, he got lost that trip. He got lost in Kansas somewhere. He got lost.
So what was your truck route that you went on?
Oh,
were there all different types of routes?
Yeah.
No. No, I just knew where to go.
Well, you went many, many different ways.
Oh, yeah. Like I say, I've been far north as you want to go, and far east as you want to go, and west. Take west all the time, and south, west and south. The officer, he says, you know where Bakersfield is? And I says, yeah, I know where Bakersfield is. Because I drove truck on a sleeper for Safeway's oil, or Safeway gas, Safeway market. Safeway had people in California that buy stuff. Just the minute that stuff was ready to eat, they wanted to be the first one to ship it.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd be down there to ship it. And I shipped down there for a while. And I don't know. So I got this job driving truck. And of course, it said, go here, go there, go. I've already been there, you know. I know where to... Any time, that I've been on a road, or been in a town, or been around this, anywhere, I go there once. You can't lose me the second time.
Wow.
I know every one of them. I know every curb, every sign, every post. You just pay attention, you know.
You just gotta pay attention, Gene.
Yeah.
I just don't know how to pay attention.
The guy said he's a broke. He said I can't pay attention. But
said that's another one of these. That's a new one. I hadn't heard that one before.
Okay, what are the other sayings you have? Hoot and holler. If you're so broke, you can't pay attention. What else would you usually what else do you usually say?
No, I don't know. Stuff just comes out. I have to write it down, I guess, and study it. This comes out, you know, things.
Okay, so how many different jobs have you had? You've had...
Well, outside the farm, just Kennecott and Hong Gas. Government. I worked for the government.
And what'd you do for them?
I worked out there. We moving some big heavy stuff out there. That big cats and us and moving them.
Now where was that? Where's out there?
Out to Twilla.
Okay.
And was moving them big cats and stuff that come in from the war. And they'd bring them in there on a rail and they'd unload them and put on trucks. And we'd haul them to Ogden. And they'd overhaul them and work them over and get them overhauled, one thing or another. And we'd go up there and load them and bring them back. They'd load them on the train and away they'd go. But we saw a lot of them up there, a lot of that burnt stuff. And been through the war, and you know, and they would work on all that stuff, and guess it was a good job for them. It was a good job for us.
Hmm.
We hauled a lot of stuff down out there. Tell you to go to Salt Lake and pick up this or pick up that or pick up this one.
Okay, now that isn't all of the places that you've worked. You've said, what, three that he's worked at, and I mean, Twilla and Kennecott and Premium Oil. And after he retired from Premium, he'd been home with Elaine for about a year, and she told him, you get out and get yourself a job. We got out of the house. So he had to work for Robinson Transport. He's hauled these girders for a lot of these bridges and overpasses and stuff that he's that they built, and a lot of these highways and stuff. He knows where that bridge is and where that bridge was, and
We hauled some of them girders out on that I-70 clear out on the East Desert.
And how long did you work for them? Was it Robinson, did you say?
Yeah.
Wasn't it Robinson Trucking or something?
Yeah, I worked for them.
Didn't you work for them?
Well, it was Robinson's, yeah, but they was building for...
Beaner Cement,
Beaner
Block or whatever,
yeah.
Didn't you work for them too?
But,
or at least hauled stuff.
Yeah, my wife says, go get a job. I'm sick and tired of you standing around here. And, so I went down and seen Bill, and he said, get in that truck and go. So I went and got in the truck and go. And I worked there we had a lot of these big girders over these freeways. Had a lot of, hauled all of them from, here up to Corinne, up and up that way, all on that I-15, clear up into, way up in there. And then we hauled a lot of these overpasses. Biggest part of the ones that was already built, other than the deck, because a lot of other stuff like around State Street and 33rd and all that big deals, you know. They didn't have built enough to take the girders.
Mm.
So we took the girders where they had stuff built big enough.
And what years were those? What years did you work for them?
Oh, let's see, it'd be in 80. When did I retire? 86.
Retire.
I was there for a couple of 3 years. Hauled some to Cedar City and hauled some out on a little west town west of Cedar, west and south. Hauled some down there to a little building down there. Hauled them out on the East Desert. Hauled them everywhere.
He had a near miss type thing. He was called to go on one of these trips with these girders where they had the two trucks hauling them. Mm-hmm. That there was that big. And he had something else, doctor appointment or something, and he couldn't go. So they had to get another driver. And the other driver got killed in an accident. Somebody stopped in front of him or something, and the quick stop and stuff, and the girder or something came through and killed him. I think it was over on 21st South or something like that.
Was that on 13th South?
13th South.
Crossing the river. Right there where the river crosses 17th South? No.
Now the girders, what are the girders? Are they the support beams for the...
Yeah.
Okay.
Had them loaded, only all of one at a time. And he called me to go to work. I said, I got this to do or that, do or the other. And I said, I can't make it. I said, you wait till tomorrow. Well, he says, got to go today. And I said, okay, so get... What was his name? Don't matter, I guess. So I'll get his Steve. I'll get Steve to come and take it out there. And I said, okay. I'll be there to help in the morning. And so he was going down Redwood Road to getting off there at 13. They had to put three cranes out there to get it across the river. That big girders. So he was hammering along there pretty good, and this flag lady, she come down and stopped the traffic from going on by, because they was going with the skirters, stopped the traffic. And the guy and the woman, this traffic coming down here, she seen those things was stopped and one thing or another. So she comes down the road and going to go underneath this girder, which was plenty of time. And anyway, she didn't quite make it. She hit the car, hit the girder, and Steve was on the front truck, and Bill was on the back truck, and it hit the car hard enough. Steve slammed on his brakes. Well, that stopped everything. That stopped the girder and it stopped the whole works. Well, now this wrecked car was wrecked pretty bad. You couldn't go nowhere, couldn't get away. So they got squared around and got a call to Robinson, and they come down to another crane or another loader and one thing or another, looted it, set it in the middle of the street and lifted it up and set it on another. But anyway, when he slammed on his brakes, the girder, front girder, come loose on the truck. It come loose. Well, it slid on the deck there to the clear up again the cab and squished the cab in, and the driver was in there, and he just smothered him. He just jammed him in there and smothered him. Well, Bill was sitting in the back truck and he didn't know what was going on. So pretty soon Bill got on the radio and said, come on, Steve, let's get going. I don't know. Bill didn't even know it. Mm-hmm. He knew nothing about it. And Steve couldn't answer. So here come the cops. Says, well, get this truck for girder out of the way. You can't get it out of the way. You got to have a crane. And he looked the situation over. And so anyway, got the truck moved and the truck out from under the girder, and I got some pictures of that truck, but I don't know just where they are. But it just pushed it right in, and the woman in the car, she didn't hardly even know what happened. She just turned in front of it, and that's all she wrote. And I always wondered whether I'd have been there, or whether I'd have been.
You'd been Steve.
Half a mile down the road, or half a mile there, or where would you have been? But them flag girls, But they had, they used to do a good job on that big flag, you know, big girders. They'd get the traffic stopped for you, and they'd had their run their deal on their Jeep and their stuff. So they had the flag and one thing or another there, and stop and go, and they done a good job on them.
Wow. So what have you enjoyed doing since you retired? Going back and forth to Salina.
Yeah, run back and forth to Salina. We've done okay as things I could do, I guess, but I don't know.
Well, you enjoyed herding cattle and stuff for the farmers down in... ranchers down in Salina.
When I left here and went to Salina, I knew my wife was never going to come out of this hospital, Draper. And so I sold her and I went down there and got a piece of ground, moved one of them houses in on it. Three doors, I don't know. Moved a house in on there. And then... I went down there and lived alone. Well, Dave was down there just a couple of blocks away. And we kind of lived together and one thing or another for a while. And then we done a lot of riding. I went to work for a couple of ranchers down there. And they'd come and call me or something and go some cows out down there. But go down there and get them cows out. And, you know, I'll go move them on across the river and take them up there. Something to do all the time. And those two, three outfits I worked for, and I just saddle up my horse, load him up, and go where he said to go. That's why I knew that country down there so good. I've been all over that country. If you went out hunting cows, there was three line shacks up there come night, and there's always something in the line shack to eat. There's always some hay there and grain to feed your horse. You put him in the pen and feed him on or up. And then stay there and get up the next morning and saddle him up and go here, go there, check, see if there's any dead ones, any around the water holes. And that's a great life.
How many different places besides Panama have you been?
How many what?
You went to Panama on a tour. Have you been on any other tours?
Went to Alaska, didn't we?
Yeah.
Went to Alaska.
Two trips to Alaska, cruises, didn't we? Didn't we go on two trips to Alaska?
Yeah. Far away.
You went to Caribbean with Elaine.
Oh, that's when I'm still working. the guy says, "Yeah, go get ready and go." He says, "We'll cover your gas trips." I said, "Okay." We went.
But you'd still rather ride a horse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You worked hard all your life.
I have worked hard.
He's having a hard time.
That's why I sit around, you know, and think, you ought to be out doing something. Let's better go down there. Dave got a new mule down there. If this weather holds, I'm going down and ride that new mule. Try Willie. But he got six down there. Ought to be able to find one.
If you had to sum up your life so far, what would you say? My life has been good. My life, what would you say?
My life's been good. Well, there's a few things. A few things there. some of it bad, but I guess 80% of it's been good.
What's the best part about your life?
Oh, getting a day off and going chasing horses.
He keeps coming back to that, doesn't he?
I love to chase horses.
Don't you believe that maybe that's his favorite?
Okay, what's the worst thing that ever happened to you?
Has to be with Catherine, I'm sure.
Yeah, that was a bad deal there.
Mostly been good, though, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been good.
Hard working.
Like I say, 80 or 90% of it's been good. There's always a little bad in.
That everyone goes through. Huh?
Well, yeah, my first deal was that bad end of it when I come out off the mountain and I was going to go ride again in the morning. And so we went to camp and one thing or another, I couldn't get off my horse. Mm. I couldn't, oh man, I was lame. I'd been riding every day, all day. And I finally got off my horse and I couldn't walk. I was really in bad shape. So I told Dave, as he came in, and we was going to come home anyway. We'd been gone 2 or 3 days. And I told Dave, I said, well, I can't walk. I said, I'm in a hell of a shape. He said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I don't know. I've got to do something. And I said, well, I'll take the camp and go down and camp there at the yard. And I'm going to go see if I can get this chiropractor over to Richfield to pound on her for a while. And I got a hold of him, and I'd been with him a time or two before, and I got a hold of him, and he said, I'm going to meet a guy over there by noon. Come on over. No, the next day. And I said, okay, I'll be there. And I went over there to Richfield, and he hammered and pounded on it and beat on it all for about an hour and jumped on it and one thing or another. And it was fine. Walked right out and got in the pickup and went to her home and just like that. But the next morning, I couldn't get out of bed. Mm. Oh, man. That's when I couldn't go to town. And she says, well, I ain't working. I'll go down and get him. So she come down and got me, and a couple of neighbor girls there, they come and finally loaded me up, and she brought me into the hospital. And
well, I brought you to your sister's.
And that's when...
Where you stayed.
That's when I had... got them spurs out of my back.
Had his first and back surgery then.
It was pretty good for a while, and then this leg went bad, and that's what hurt. Then I had to quit driving truck, and that would hurt me worse than anything.
Well, you had to give up riding horses. After that first surgery, did you ride after that? Did you ride horses after your first back surgery?
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah, I rode quite a while after that.
Do you have pictures of some of the horses you rode?
Well, I think they're all in albums down home.
I haven't seen any pictures of your horses, so I don't know.
We probably haven't got any here.
Well, but do you have pictures of them?
I think there's some that Albert down home.
I haven't seen any of them, so I don't know. I thought I'd looked in those albums, but I...
Well, there wouldn't be none of them here.
Oh, no, they're not here. Neither here nor there. It's just a matter of whether or not you have pictures of your horses.
Yeah, there's three or four of them down there, I think. I don't know. You kind of forget whether there's stuff there or not. I got three big albums about this thick. About this square. And they're just about chock full of pictures. And they're all of the kids.
Well, you've got a posterity to follow you, haven't you?
Yeah.
How many great-grandchildren do you have?
No.
13, let's see.
13 great-grandchildren?
I figure that out every time, and I think now is it the grandchildren, let's see.
Here's the grandkids.
The grandkids, or is it the great-grandkids? Let's see, there's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And the grandkids are, there's 13 grandkids that we know of.
And how many great-grandchildren?
Three.
Oh, great-grandchildren, no. You got 2, 4, 8, 9. And Stephanie Ann, how many? She has 9, her kids. 10 or 12 that we know of, but we understand that there are some out of wedlock grandkids too.
So at least a dozen great-grandchildren,
yeah.
we'll say that. Well, that's quite a posterity you have.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, but, you know, a lot of this really technical stuff, that takes a long time.